Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to jump straight in and going to have a chat now with beautiful Fern Newcomb from Murra Law, solicitor at Murra Law. And topic today is Human Rights Month. That's what it is, 2020, the year it was. We're going to catch up with yarn. Here she is, Fern. Good morning, sis. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Trev. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, yes, yeah, great. So we are human beings and we all got rights, and that's topic today. Well, every human has rights. Queensland Human Rights Month 2020. So celebration.
Yeah. Well, so the Queensland Human Rights Commission run an annual campaign every year from the 10th of November to the 10th of December, mm-hmm. where they highlight sort of the importance of protecting and promoting human rights. So this year's campaign is especially significant for us in Queensland, as 2020 is the year that the first year that we've had a human rights protections written into our law.
Okay, what law?
On January 1st of this year, the Queensland Human Rights Act 2019 came into full effect. Now, we've obviously had quite a few other things happening this year that have probably prevented proper examination of the provisions mm-hmm. and potential uses of this piece of legislation. keeping silent on COVID. The Act. So this Act protects two rights drawn from the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. Education Health Services, which protects one right from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is a property right. Yep. But its primary focus, 19 out of the 23 rights protected, is on protection of civil and political rights drawn from the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Mm-hmm. This is a covenant which Australia is a ratifier, so it means they've signed the document. The UNICCPR was adopted in December 1966 and has been in force since March 1976.
A length of time? What are we talking there?
Why the length of time? Well, the ICCPR is part of public international law. Unfortunately, public international law is one of those sort of grey areas where its regulations and guidelines can kind of go largely ignored. Mm. Like, even when a country has sort of rocked up to the covenant or declaration signing, has ratified the document or agreement, if that country doesn't go back to its own borders and enact those laws domestically, the ratification or agreement doesn't really have any substantive value.
A Clayton deal, so to speak. Clayton law.
Yeah, exactly. A Clayton law. So essentially, this means prior to 2004, when the ACT introduced the first human rights legislation into this nation, no one in Australia could show up to a court or go to any ombudsman or government body to complain about breaches of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Mm-hmm. So as it stands here now in this country, there's the Human Rights Act 2004 from the ACT, the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act from 2006 in Victoria, and the Human Rights Act 2019, which is our Queensland Act, and they're all state acts.
So federal act, whether need one or have one? etc.
So the issue is with the three state acts is that the respective state parliaments can just sort of change the legislation whenever they want. So it's led to different commentators and stakeholders to say that this sort of means that they're soft laws, just like you said, the Clayton laws.
Sure, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, and so there's calls for there to be a federal human rights legislation which is similar to our constitution. So the like the human rights protections that can only be changed by public referendum.
Okay. Yeah.
So the flip side of this coin is also an argument where narrowing human rights in this way is bad as well, because we might end up in a situation where we have legislation that is exceptionally difficult to change. We all know how, you know, difficult it is to change constitution.
Exactly.
But that in practice doesn't actually work the way we thought it would. And also, as we were speaking about before, where you end up with in a situation where potentially a corporation could be being protected because it's an individual as well, you know, in the eyes of the law.
We're talking about individual human beings.
Yeah.
Not corporation.
Yeah. So you need to be really careful about how you're writing these
things.
How
you word things,
yeah. Especially if it's you're going to put it into a piece of legislation that's really hard to change. You need to make sure it's, like, spot on. So the issue would be that we didn't expressly define the human – if we – expressly define them in such a rigid way, if something important gets left out or if it doesn't work in the way it was supposed to, that we meant to leave it out or it was meant for it was meant to work that way, or it's really difficult to change even if it's stupid.
Yeah.
Like even if it ends up with like ridiculous outcomes.
Well, it's difficult to know what is right.
Yeah, it's difficult to know which one to do. So, but there is an upside for First Nations people. For the Queensland Human Rights Act, it does have a really great provision in Section 28 where it explicitly protects the cultural rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really great. What this means...
Long time waiting.
Yeah. Only 200, over 200 years.
250 years. The white sails come.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put rules in.
Yeah.
Wait first.
Yeah. What this means is that each arm of the government, of the governing parts of this nation, which are the courts, parliament and sort of public government entities like state schools, police, government departments, non-government entities if they're performing a government kind of function, they've got to act compatibly with these human rights, which means that sort of each of these bodies, organisations mentioned must consider Section 28 when performing its functions. Unfortunately, it's such a new act that a lot of the provisions of the Human Rights Act Queensland haven't been litigated yet in court, and Section 28 is one of those provisions. So we don't really have...
So it's not in blood yet, is it?
Yeah, well, we don't really have any information about how it will actually work in practice and sort of around, with regard to enforcement, but it is a really good thing to keep in the back of your mind. Even when we're writing contracts and stuff, for example, or negotiating terms of an agreement, we include a reference to Section 28 in most of our contracts.
Okay.
Particularly if it's if you
so
know
So if something raises its ugly head, you've got support and protection there.
Yeah, in
so
the actual document that's governing the relationship between you and the other person.
Mm.
Yeah.
How you say it? Go a mile, see a mile. see as you go, so to speak, down the track.
Yeah,
if we
exactly.
hit that pothole, then we've got the, how you said, the bitumen in the back of the truck will just fill in that pothole.
Yeah.
As we go. Trying to just paint the picture regarding the journey ahead, you know?
Exactly.
So more information there?
So the Queensland Human Rights Commission have a fantastic resource on their website, have fantastic resources, many, on their website relating to Human Rights Month. That they're at qhrc.qld.gov.au/resources/Human Rights Month 2020 with dashes in between each of those words.
Yes.
Or you can call them on 1300 130 670, which isn't a free call, bear in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make a complaint there at that website if you have, if you think anyone's breached any of these, of these rights.
Yep.
Same qhrc.qld.gov.au/complaints.
Complaints.
Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
So the Queensland Government website also has a section for government employees where they can look up resources to enable them to comply with the Human Rights Act. And any business owners or employers could always adopt this for other organisations' use, could adopt these sort of these resources, and that's at www.forgov.au/human rights.
Human rights.
And as always, you can call us if you need some commercial or native title advice, and you can also get more information from your local law society. In Queensland, that is the Queensland Law Society, and their number is 1300 367 757. Other states have got corresponding law societies. You just have to look them up.
Okay, fantastic. Otherwise, contact you guys at Murra Law. And who's Murra Law, Fern?
Murra Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. You can check us out and get all our contact details at murrawalaw.com.au.
Too deadly. Thank you very much, Fern. Look, fantastic. Always good to catch up with you. Big shout out to the girls there at Murra Law. And we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Trev.
Okay, dear. Bye. Beautiful yarn there, Fern Newcombe, and with Murra Law, solicitor there at Murra Law. And the statement is every human has rights, and the Queensland Human Rights Month 2020. And that was our yarn today. Fantastic. Have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And let's go to Dancing Aborigine, Mopping the Dropouts. Do enjoy.
Been around singing and dancing with my people throughout the night. Me and the brothers still going strong. I hear a voice of my father.
Yeah, Too Deadly, Dancing Aborigine, Mopping the Dropouts here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550 for you, Shy Mob. Don't act. You're not shy. Otherwise, Facebook, Keyboard Warriors, BBM 987 FM. All right, Too Deadly. Now, how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? We're going to catch up a yarn there with Annie Wiley, Manager of Digital Content at Reach Out on the line. Annie, good morning. How are you?
G'day. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Annie?
I'm on Gadigal country, so okay. Down in Sydney.
All right, beautiful. Beautiful. Borders are opening up. Light at the end of the tunnel, all looking good, isn't it? Different world.
It's been a time.
Well, we're fine up here. Hillbillies up north, far north Queensland. We've been cruising pretty good, but touch wood. And we can't get complacent, hey, because we haven't really got a vaccine for the pandemic, have we?
We're just sitting and waiting and, you know, supporting each other as we can.
Exactly. So you're the manager of digital content at Reach Out. So first of all, tell us what Reach Out is, and let's talk about how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, please.
Yeah, cool. So Reach Out is actually the most accessed online mental health service for young people and also their parents in Australia. So, you know, our focus is on young people through things like self-help information. Mm. We have an online peer support program and we have referral tools where, you know, you might be able to go through and figure out what further services you need. And, you know, knowing that no man is an island, we also work with parents as well as schools in supporting young people be happy and well.
Mm. Fantastic. So, and the statement here, the topic is how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Elaborate on that, please. There.
Yeah, so basically we know that a lot of young people come to Reach Out wanting to learn more about lots of things and wanting to support themselves and support others, and that's a really big one. Mm. And so a lot of young people come to Reach Out wanting to know how to be respectful and useful ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And so we worked with young Aboriginal writer called Alice Curry, mm-hmm. who's a Mununjali woman from Uganda country. So same state as you guys, but a little bit further south.
Yes.
And she helped us produce this resource around how to be a good ally. We actually worked with both young Aboriginal people on whether they thought that this, you know, was something that would really work for them, as well as non-Aboriginal young people asking them, would you actually follow the tips in this? Would this make you a good ally? Are you going to be a good ally now?
Well, it's a tool, a case of walking a mile in someone's moccasins, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the really big tips for us was being respectful but open to learning and expanding your knowledge and combining those two things together. So, you know, that's something really practical. Things like go watch a documentary, listen to radio shows like this, you know, and you guys obviously are across the whole of Australia, so it's not hard to tune in.
Sure.
And ask questions and actually just sit in silence when you listen to really take that in.
Well, the old phrase is when the student is ready, teacher will arrive, you know, and we are students for life, aren't we?
Absolutely, and that's what we're really trying to do with teaching, you know, non-Aboriginal young Australians how to be good allies. It's not just about saying, yes, I'm an ally. It's about actually learning and doing
and acting,
and making space.
And it's a term of respect as well.
Mm, absolutely. And you know, and it doesn't have to be, and, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. It can actually be really fun.
Exactly.
As well, becoming an ally to any group of people. So, for instance, I'm really into sport. And so when I'm thinking about how I might learn more, I'm like, okay, great. Well, like, there's some really good documentaries that have come out recently, the Kathy Freeman documentary. You know, I can learn more about Adam Goods and through that documentary. And then that's really aligning with things that I'm already passionate about and also taking that space to learn more and be respectful.
Well, exactly. Like I said, we're students for life. So you travel, you were supposed to travel through life with that open mind, with your eyes and ears and soul open for the learning, you know. I always say every person I meet in some way is superior to me. I'm the student ready to learn, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that young people really, really feel that and they love learning from each other. And so, you know, what we're saying is take that into actually developing yourself into being an ally. Ask those questions. Be curious.
Yes.
Be supportive. Be respectful, and learn how you can, you know, walk alongside, you know, your Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters.
Beautiful, fantastic. So, how are we putting this in order, so to speak? You had Sister Alice Curry at the table.
Yeah.
So you communicated with local TOs and traditional owners or elders in regard to this conversation.
Yeah. So we at Reach Out, we have a reconciliation action plan, and through that we work with a number of what we call consultants. Through Cox and Isle Ridgeway, actually, which is an Aboriginal owned and run communications agency, and they help us with lots of things. And so they were able to help us with connecting with Alice, who wrote the tips from like a really personal standpoint.
Sure.
And then they were able to also connect us with a group of young Aboriginal people to really sense check what we were working on with Alice. Because for us, like, it's just so important to collaborate with the experts on this, and obviously the experts.
Well, you get some home truths, you know what I mean? And it also, like, for non-Indigenous people who don't have that colour skin, to what we go through in regarding a facial expression when we meet somebody, or a tone or body language, and that's hard to explain. So when you're hearing it from a First Nation person, it's hitting the nail on the head, so to speak.
Yeah, and we actually had some really amazing feedback from some young non-Aboriginal people who read the resource to sort of understand how they could become allies. And we had a couple in particular that sort of said it was so amazing to hear from Alice directly about this.
Yes,
to actually understand how she walks in this world and how she exists in this world, and how they can, you know, do that alongside someone like her. So. It was really exciting to get that feedback too, to know that, people can change and people can develop and make a difference.
Well, Annie, you're not only reaching out, but you're building bridges, is what I'm saying.
Fingers crossed, that's exactly what's happening.
Fantastic. Look, more power to you. I think it's great. And a big shout out to your team, your mob there, your family. Stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, Annie.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there, and that's Annie Wiley, a manager of digital content at ReachOut, and how to be an ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and of course working closely with our TOs, our elders, in regarding that platform for mob to walk in our moccasin, so to speak. Have your say, yarn a strong add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
Yes, it blows fairly hard this time each year. And there's something I want to know. It's been playing on my mind. Oh, I'm worrying and wondering where you'd be. All these sleepless nights, watching and waiting. Is there a call? Knock on my door. All these tears of crying about wondering where you are. I can't wait to hold you once more. Ask me where you were. It's so hard to tell them how it is. But what do I say? Oh, I still care. How do I
lose this loneliness. All these sleepless nights of watching and waiting. Is there a call or a knock on my door? All these tears of crying about wondering where you are. I can't wait to hold you once more. Is there a call or a knock on my door? All these tears of pride about wondering where you are. I can't wait to hold you once more.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yo, 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 one of them. Nintwe, Ngai Yang. With a Kankan crew from Arakun.
Hey, stop
it. Yeah, mob, yeah, mob.
We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people.
We sing and we dance from the town to the bush. Winching them up did Sarah push. One of them dance and fly like a bird. Up over the land and the whistle that you heard is the sound of the Kankan, call of the eagle. Dangerous and proud, the totem of my people when I'm hunting. I can see you from a distance, bring back the food from my brothers and my sisters.
We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, tend to be not loud. We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, tend to be not loud.
I'm a Kankan kidder from around the way, and I socialize and I rap all day. With a wicked from Arakun, just shake a leg to the funky tune. Flick flick kumbala past the cup. Come on with people, turn the music up. I'm proud of my culture and I'm proud of my slang. Bottom and crew is not the rum gang.
We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, turn the beat up loud. We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, turn the beat up loud.
We're black, we're strong, we're proud. With people, turn the beat up loud. We're black, we're strong, we're proud. With people, turn the beat up loud.
I'm a strong, independent woman from Cape York. A leader in progress for the future. You can see that spotlight shining on me. The blacker, the berry, the cuter. Rising up for my people, being their voice. Paving the way for my children. Winona, Hannah, Salome, Jose. These strong families that we're building. There ain't no stopping me, youpla. My people, our culture, their future. Kang Kang Matakuz, I told ya. You never get the best of my culture.
We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, tend to be not loud. We're black, fresh, dumb, we're proud. With people, tend to be not loud.
We're black, we're strong, we're proud. With people, tend to be not loud. We're black, we're strong, we're proud. With people,
tend to be not loud.
Go! Go!
Yes, I heard that. Black, strong and proud. Your mob too deadly. This is your deadly program. National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the mob down there. And to our deadly black network across this deadly country of ours, Voice for Our People and Yarn It Up Strong. Speaking of Yarn Up Strong, we're now going to have catch up and have a yarn with Aaron Smith. And yarned with him many times on radio. He was up there in the Torres Straits, but met him in person. And very good to see the brother. And welcome to the program, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, which way, brother?
Same way, my brother. As we say, who your mob, where you from? Tell us who Aaron Smith is, brother.
Well, mate, I was born a prisoner of Her Majesty, and I was the son of one of the last 10-pound poms that came out to Australia.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a white fella through and through, but... I don't have country. I don't have place. Mm. But growing up here and spending time, last 50-odd years in various countries around this great nation and hanging out with mob from the Red Centre, from the Yorta Yorta on the Murray and all the way out to the Torres Strait to all my brothers and sisters from different misters and mothers up that way. I've learned to, although I don't have place, I learn to connect with whatever place
you
I am.
You get adopted, brother. Your heart's so beautiful that you get adopted left, right and centre.
Big S, my brother.
So you're one of us, my brother, but also got a connection to South America as well.
Yeah, so I lived in South America for 3 years. That's where I met my wife, the beautiful Viviani Araújo Souza Silva, who is the mother of my daughter.
Yes.
So we live here, and she lived up there with us as well all that time in the Torres Strait. So... yeah, that was the beginning, I guess, of my writing adventures. I've written 3 books. This is my third.
Yep, and we're going to talk about your book here. I got it in my little hot hands here. So you've read 3 books. Talk about the other two. This is your fourth book?
Third book.
So let's talk about the other 2 books, and then we'll get on to this book.
Okay, so the first book is called Shanty, Bloody Shanty. It's about my misadventures travelling around India for 6 months. I had a pretty checkered past as a young fella, and I got onto the wrong side of the wrong sort of people.
And where'd you grow up?
Melbourne. Well, I grew up all over the place. So okay. I left Tassie as a young fella. I grew up in Tassie. Tassie boy, and then went to Melbourne in my early 20s. I hitchhiked around Australia first, and I lived with Red Dust Mob for a little while out for Tennant Creek.
So you connected to black people from the get go,
mate. I'm the blackest white fella you'll ever meet.
White on the outside, black on the inside.
So, yeah, but yeah, so. So that book was about going to India, and yeah, I had to leave Australia in a hurry. Actually, I had some heavy dudes after me, so I ran away from Australia and joined the circus.
You stood on some toes, did you, brother?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I just hung out with the wrong crew. So that I just sort of fell into this adventure, and it was sort of a coming of age in my mid 30s. I'm now 51, and from there this sort of awakening happened, and I travelled in India. And all this crazy stuff happened to me, so it became a book. It started off as notes on napkins and emails to myself, and then someone said, you should write a book. So I did, and my 1 year around the world trip ended up in Brazil for 2 weeks, where I met the love of my life, and I stayed 3 years. I threw my ticket away, became an illegal immigrant, and I stayed in Brazil. And then from Brazil, I explored every country in Latin America, living with indigenous mob from the Amazonian Indians and the Peruvian Amazon, all through the back end of Colombia, into the mountains with the Peyote Indians, and out into the northern deserts of Mexico, where the Peyote Indians. And I went through multiple rites of passages with all their magic men and shamans.
A traveling soul, you could say, my brother.
Yeah, I guess it was just I was sort of looking for that connection, and that's what this third book's all about. Those first 2 books was my sort of searching the planet for some sort of greater meaning, because I felt growing up, you know, as a white bread Aussie in suburban Australia, that there was something missing from you know, my heart. And
so we're talking about a spiritual sense?
Spiritual sense. I mean, I was raised a strict atheist. You know, the God was a dirty word in my family, and I'm now an uncomfortable agnostic.
Well, all atheists until the last minute, turbulent plane.
Yeah, but now, I'm not an atheist now, but I'm not religious per se, but I am deeply spiritual. And for me, it's about connecting with whatever knowledge is around me, and that's not always in a book or on a TV. It's sure. Often, you know, more quietly delivered, and that's what this
that's
third
with Mother Nature and with people's spirit.
What? And then finally ending up in the Torres Strait, it was the opportunity to, well, for the first time in my life, I had become a minority in a place you know, growing up a white fella in Australia, I'm always at the majority. I'm always on the better end of the wicked as far as prejudice and opportunity and all of that.
Mm.
And then even though
I would say white privilege.
White privilege, totally. Mm. I was totally white privilege, suburban white privilege. And even though I had a sensibility of what had gone on to, you know, to the First Nation peoples of this continent, I hadn't experienced it, lived with it, you know. Mm. And then moving to the Torres Strait and having to champion their stories, it started to soak in by osmosis, and I started to, you know, connect and get that opportunity to live like a minority. I still had the privilege. I still had a job and all of that. I didn't have the struggle. But I got to see things from an outsider's perspective in the sense of I'm not inclusive of the language, of the culture. And that gave me a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to turn that gaze back on from the
I'm
top.
I'm thinking, but also what comes to my mind is when in Rome, live like the Romans. So you arrive there, you have to dovetail yourself into the mechanics of life and how they live life.
Yeah, I savvy that. And it's like, you know.
You savvy that. That's right, brother.
I can make a damn good namas, and I'm not a great fisherman. I don't think I'll ever be able to match that level of island knowledge. But yeah, look, it was a great privilege. And, you know, I was just talking to a Miriam brother on Mer the other day, and he was saying, you know, you're welcome back any time. And it brought a tear to my eye because, you know, it's one of the places.
Beautiful. Exactly, you know, brother.
Special connection, you know, there to the families up in Miriam Mer.
Well, people. That in itself is adoption straight away, my brother, you know.
Totally.
And for you to be welcome like so, it is a privilege, and take that on board. And I know you speak from your heart, brother, and I can see your expression, your tone, tears in your eyes. That's what it's all about. So looking at this deadly book here, The Rock, you call it. Now, picture of a skull. Yep. There it is. That in itself says a lot, you know. Picture says 1,000 words. But as I open up the book and looking at the first page, I think it's written out to myself here. So thank you, my brother, Big Esau. And the first word, or two words, four-letter word. We all know that. And, of course, we're talking about Y-O-U. You is the second word. So 7 letters here. So it opens up a four-letter word, F-U. Read between the lines, people, but that's how you open your book there. So what are you saying there, F-U, the first two words in a book?
It's because I wanted to jolt the reader. And as I was saying to you before, this book ain't for Bama. It's not for mob. It's about
not for
them.
Black people.
It's not for black people. Don't get me wrong, because it's what's in that book, everyone's lived and felt that who's the bummer and the mob, they know that. They're not going to learn nothing new from that. It's for the other 97% of people that don't have a respect or understanding of the struggle and the hardships and the intergenerational suffering and everything that's been passed down.
And brothers and sisters, take note, learn, get educated, so to speak.
Yeah, and I want people to understand. It's not just about, you know, oh, I feel sorry for the black fella. No, it's about understanding the context of what's happened to people and the fact that it's not a long time ago. It's like that intergenerational suffering is still affecting generation young mob today. It's you don't get over things.
And we're
in
not
a couple
carrying it like luggage.
No,
it's deep to the soul.
It's deep to the soul, and until you know the frontier wars are properly recognised, until there's a national apology, not just for the stolen generation, but for all the generations that have been robbed. And it's not until that those stories, not the secret men's business, secret women's business, but the stories that can be publicly shared are taught as part of our school curriculum across the country. Mm. I wasn't taught anything. I learnt more about the extinction of the Thylacine and the Palaeo people of Tassie. Mm. I learned a little bit about Truganini and that was about it. And that was it in my schooling years, 45 years ago when I was in primary school. So it's not until those things happen, when everyone is set into the context, when the full history is accepted, that we can actually heal as a nation. And I think it's a reflection of our national character. Like, I'll give you an example. No matter what you're going through in life, and someone says, how are you going? You say, I'm good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Even if things aren't good.
Sure.
And I think that's a reflection of our past. It's because we don't want to deal with it. So it's like, yeah, it's all good, mate. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Yeah, you know? Sure. Denial.
That
ain't no river in Egypt.
And in fact, I had my first troll on Facebook over the book. The book's not even out yet. And I had a hater already troll me.
Well, you're wearing a white skin, saying bad things about white people, you could say. Well, there it is, brother. You're going to get tomatoes thrown at you.
And then he was a military man, and I texted him back or messaged him back on this public chat where he's ripping into me. I said, mate, you look at the Anzacs and we say, lest we forget. But you look at the blackfellas and they say, just get over it. How would you feel if we were to flip that?
Thank you.
He got really angry.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go.
Thank you. Yeah. That's right. It's like, exactly. Well, yeah. Let me take your kids off you, your daughter off you. Yep. That's stolen generation.
Yeah, exactly. Mother. Yeah, just get over it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And it's
come
like,
and work for a year, but I won't pay you.
Yeah. Now I'll put that into my hospital down my
thank you. That's right. You know. So look, there it is. You know. I mean, look, a powerful book, The Rock. So it's out now. Got it in my hot hand.
Oh, it's out. You've got a pre-release. It's out on December 1, so it's out next week. So it's available nationally in bookshops across the nation in New Zealand next week. We have a Zoom launch on the 10th of December, and there's also going to be an in-person launch up in Caranda at Frog's Restaurant on the 12th.
Okay.
If people want to come up and have a yarn and meet the author and give me your 2 cents worth, I'm there to face the music.
All ears, face the music. So Aaron, where are you based? Here in Cairns?
I'm just around the corner, mate. Yes, I'm in Cairns. Cairns is home now since the Torres News, where I was the editor for nearly 7 years.
Yep.
Merged.
So you still running as a journo?
Still working as a journo. So I still, you know, I mean, I've got a big story coming out, I think today or tomorrow, The Guardian. So I write for The Guardian about the Torres Strait and the Cape still.
Okay.
And I still do bits and pieces for the Courier Mail and occasionally SBS Online.
Mm.
That's most of my Indigenous sort of stories go. And I also do stuff for Australian Geographic magazine from time to time as well.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, I love the place. I've got salt water in the veins now, and it's like,
yeah.
I chat to community leaders, you know, every second week someone's giving me a call. I mean,
yes.
Only yesterday.
So you and your lovely wife lived up there, didn't you?
Well, yeah, my wife and my daughter. So my daughter grew up there. She was up there from 2 to 9. And when we moved to Cairns, she's going to me, "So, Dad, which island are they from?" It's like, it's a bit different down here in the North Island. It's not, you know, the South Island.
Exactly. The big island.
Island, yeah. So
we're all a fruit salad this way, you know.
Well, that's what I call my daughter's a fruit salad. So my missus is part African, part Portuguese, part Amazonian Indian.
Yeah.
And I'm your mongrel Englishman Irishman.
There you go.
So she's just fruit salad. There's too many pizzas to the pie to give it a name.
Yeah, brother. Thank you. Fantastic. Look, it's great to meet the face behind the voice. Good to see you in person, brother. And
likewise.
The door's always open here. And thanks for this beautiful book. And so a message out there to your mob to have a read. Not mainly for black brothers and sisters out there, for non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. They say when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Come with an open mind, read the book, walk a mile in their moccasins. Yeah.
It's something you said to me a long time ago. Let's just build a bridge and get over it.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. You know, yeah. Thank you.
And that's what we need to do as a nation. It's not you guys that got to get over it. It's the other fellas. I'll flip it around. It's the white fellas that just got to get over it and build that bridge and meet us halfway let's shake hands with you guys and let's see how we can turn this mess around and make this
there
a beautiful country.
There it is.
We live on God's own country, mate.
Yeah, we do. I always say that you need to go to bed with a mirror so in the morning you can wake up to yourself. Or make it like a lengthy mirror, long mirror.
You're the king of the one-liners, man. That's why you're sitting in the. That's why you're sitting in the chair, bro.
But I'm gonna read your book, get more educated. Hey, Aaron, all the best to you, brother.
Thank you, brother, and thanks to Mob and Bummer all that there that's given me the support over the years, I'm eternally, humbly grateful.
Beautiful, beautiful words. All right, Aaron Smith, having a daily yarn with that daily brother. He's a journo and media communication consultant and award-winning multi-platform journo he is. And the book in my hand is called The Rock. Like I said, Aaron Smith, he's the author, looking into Australia's heart of darkness from the edge of its wild frontier. And it starts with FU. So have a read, you mob. Check it out. That'll get you on the edge. Otherwise, slam the book down. But and when the student red teacher will arrive. Have you say yarn up strong? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Well, I only saw your name here when I was in this morning. It's Aaron Smith. Is it Aaron Smith? Yeah. Good. So then I thought I heard Jackie talking. Exactly, brother, yeah. Yeah, the Bush Kids droving here on the radio, yarning up strong here. Microphone still on, it's all good. Have your say, yarn up strong with Trendy Trev Murray from Curry, 1-800-422-416. Got another call on the line. Very good morning. Hello.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Your name is?
Samantha.
Samantha.
I'm from Perth, West Australia.
Oh, from Perth, WA. Good morning, Samantha. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. Thank you for, because I just discovered your channel here in Perth a week ago, and believe me, I'll never change the channel.
Is that right? That's a compliment. Thank you. Thank you. So you like listening to our yarns?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And very, we appreciate people calling in, so we appreciate you calling in, Samantha.
It's just wonderful. So I thought I better tell you. I'm having so much enjoyment because unfortunately, I've got a heart problem, so yeah. I can't go anywhere. I'm home.
Well, we're here for you. Massage your heart.
It's just wonderful. I just wanted to tell you because I think people should appreciate what they listen to and let them know.
Oh,
so
lovely.
This is why I'm ringing you.
Thank you, Samantha. So tell us your story quickly, Samantha. Always lived in WA?
No. I'm of Maltese, Polish, German parent.
Oh.
We came to Australia.
Yes.
In 1952.
Okay.
So it tells you I'm in my 80s.
You're travelling good. Good inning. Good inning.
Yes.
And children, Samantha?
Oh, yes, four.
Four.
Three boys and one girl.
Lovely. And hubby?
And I love this country. This country is
beautiful country.
It's God's country.
Yeah, beautiful country. And we've got to make it work, don't we? We've got to get it together. We are one.
Yes, we should. And we should appreciate the fact that, in actual fact, the country belongs to you Indigenous people.
Yes.
And we should appreciate it more.
Yeah, and we're sharing it with all fellow Australians.
Absolutely. You've welcomed us, and so we should hope that everything will go your way, and you should not even have to go to courts to get your privileges, which should automatically become yours, because this is your country.
Well, we were talking earlier to Annie Wiley, and she's talking about, she was with Reach Out and talking about how to be ally to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And we look at you, my sister, as an ally. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I tell you what, you've got a book out with the language. The language is fascinating.
Oh, yes.
Because my father, Maltese, is Arabic. That's the language they speak in Malta.
Okay.
I try to listen to it, and I think, God, the pronunciation sometimes sounds very much like my father.
Yeah, there's connection there.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Beautiful, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for calling, Samantha. Please do keep listening and ring up any time and have your say.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'll keep listening. No problem.
All the best to you, dear. Take care, Samantha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lovely call there from Samantha, WA, sitting at home there, listening to the radio, and like what we talk about, so fantastic. So we scored a fan there, and she says she's got heart problems, so we are here massaging your heart while we yarn here on Murray Radio. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and look, Murray going to sign off here very soon, but stay tuned, got news coming up here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Squeezing yarn, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Speak up.
Yeah, to Deadly Mob. Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic.